Amen. Appreciate those young people and their help tonight. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 40. We're continuing a new series of lessons where we are striving to walk through different passages of Scripture so that we can learn from the commandments and the examples that we see in Scripture how to be faithful witnesses of Jesus. And before we read in John 1, I just want to remind you of some of the things that Jesus instructed his disciples before he ascended into heaven, after his resurrection, before he ascended. Mark 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We're familiar with Luke 24:46. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And of course, Acts 1:8, we looked at that a little bit Sunday, going to look at it more this coming Sunday. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And I know you're all familiar. Probably when we think of the Great Commission, we mostly think of Matthew's account, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We started this series of lessons. We want to talk about evangelism. We want to talk about going and preaching the gospel to every creature. We want to be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. But remember that we're not just after some profession of faith. We're not just out there trying to get somebody to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he called us to make disciples. We want to see people follow Jesus Christ until the day they see him face to face. That's what we're after, is for people to begin following Jesus by faith and to continue following Jesus by faith. And that's what we're here for. That's the command that he gave us, to make disciples. And so we can see the beginning of the disciples here in John 1 and verse 40. John 1 and verse 40 says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him," or followed Jesus, "was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now remember, these John and Andrew were some of many who in that day were following John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man sent from God to prepare the way for Jesus. He had the spirit and power of Elijah in his life, and he was one who would make straight paths, and he would cut down the high and build up the low, and he was making a way for Jesus to come. And he said, "The one who comes after me is preferred before me." And that's what he was all about. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." John and Andrew were the first two of John's disciples to stop following John and start following Jesus. And so he declared Christ to them. They started following him. Verse 41 says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And so let's have a word of prayer. We're going to dig into the scriptures a little bit more this evening before we break up into our groups. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, for the privilege that we have to gather together. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we look into the scriptures tonight, that you'll guide us into all truth by your Spirit. Father, that you'll help us to be real disciples, faithful disciples, until the day we see you face to face. And Lord, help us to be busy doing the work that you've called us to do, that every member would be busy about being a disciple maker. Help us to learn things that will help us to be more faithful witnesses. Lord, help us to just hone our craft, to get better and better at preaching the gospel, at proclaiming the good news to others. Lord, help us to be faithful in our lives, and to be faithful and courageous to speak the gospel with our lips. Lord, please help me now, for I'm nothing without you. And we pray you'll bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. So when John sees Jesus, he points him out to his disciples and everyone who can hear his voice, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then two of them begin to follow Jesus. Now, remember, they go back to where Jesus is staying, and they stay all night. And we don't have the record of everything that happened, but I feel very confident in telling you that when they walked to where Jesus was staying, Jesus was teaching them. And when they spent the night with Jesus, Jesus was teaching them. As a matter of fact, I have a suspicion that they probably stayed up a lot of the night, and they probably didn't get a lot of sleep that night when they abode with him. Can you imagine? You've been looking for Messiah, and John points Jesus out as the Lamb of God. You understand what that means. And when you leave the next morning, the first thing Andrew does is he goes to his brother and says, "We found the Messiah." So listen, I'm convinced that that wasn't just from what John said, but from what he learned from Jesus that day and that night. And so when he figured it out, and he is convinced through the testimony of Christ himself that Jesus is the very Christ, he goes to his brother first and brings him to Jesus and says, "We found Messiah." Notice that he was a person who was seeking Messiah. He was looking for Messiah, and so he rejoiced to find him. Once you begin following Jesus, once you understand who he is, you're going to have a desire to find others to bring to Jesus. He found his brother Simon, says, "We found Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. When you meet Jesus and you find someone else and bring them to Jesus, Jesus will change them the way that he changed you. When you come to Jesus by faith, he changes you. He changes you immediately. As soon as Peter comes to Jesus, he sees him, he changes his name because he's going to change who he is. He gives him a new name because he's going to make him something new. He's going to transform him into something else. And if you've studied the Gospels, you understand that process, it began immediately, but Jesus worked on him continually. It begins immediately, the change begins immediately, but it's a continual process where God continues to work, and he'll change you immediately. He'll change you continually, and one day he'll change you finally. Those who come to God by faith in Jesus will be conformed to the image of Christ. And friends, isn't that what we're after? Don't we want people to be made like Christ? We sometimes get terrified of talking to people. We get worried about what they'll think. We're worried about what other people think and all the rest of it. And our focus is wrong. Our focus needs to be on Christ and another person's relationship with Christ. That's where our focus has to be. I'm amazed at people's attitudes about making disciples, Christians' attitudes about soul winning and the business of reaching people, evangelizing people. Some people are critical about the term soul winning. They say that's not in the Bible, but my Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Right? I would contend that it is there. Some people are critical of the concept of evangelism. They say evangelism's not there. Just the idea of evangelist, that's listed a few times, but preaching the gospel is evangelism. That's what it is. And that's something that all of us are supposed to do, is proclaim the good news. It's not the job of the pastor alone or some missionary we send out somewhere else. Every one of us is to be a proclaimer of the gospel. That is evangelism. We ought to understand that. But I do want to make sure that we stay clear on this, and our focus is clear, our aim is clear, because if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And listen, we've got a limited amount of time, and we want to make sure that our focus is where it needs to be. We're not just after decisions for Jesus, we're after lives lived for Jesus. We want to see people be real disciples, and so there are a lot of barriers to disciple making. Barna did a survey not that long ago, and ask people to select what comes closest to describing why they're not discipling another person. And the number one answer was I don't think I am qualified. I don't think I'm equipped. I don't think I'm qualified to be a disciple maker. I don't think I'm qualified as a Christian to help somebody else. And I just wonder in your own heart, you don't have to raise your hand, but just in your own heart, would you say that you don't feel qualified? I don't feel equipped? Well, part of the reason we're having this series of lessons is so that you will be equipped. This is why we're doing this, to look in the Word of God to learn how to do it better. Just because you don't feel qualified or equipped doesn't change the fact that we're commanded. And just because you don't feel equipped doesn't make you excused, because God has provided everything for us to be equipped. He's given us His Word, and He's given us His Holy Spirit. And the reality is tonight, friends, you and I, we're without excuse. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, and if we're not actively seeking to do that, we are in disobedience to Christ. We've got to be striving for that. The second reason people gave was that no one had suggested it to them. No one had asked them to make disciples. Listen, if you've got a pulse and you've been sitting in this church for any length of time, I hope you realize you've been asked. What did they say? It's been suggested. It's been suggested. We can't claim that here at Calvary. The third reason, 22% of people said they just haven't thought about it. Just haven't thought about it. Listen, if we haven't thought about the mission that God gave us to do, there's something dreadfully wrong with our walk with Christ. If you've given no thought to what He requires of you as a believer, if you've given no thought to what He wants you to do as a Christian, there's something dreadfully wrong. The fourth number one answer was only 3%, had a bad experience in the past. Had a bad experience. I remember Brother Eddie Reichert preaching several years ago and talking about people's bad experiences, you know, the reasons they don't come back to church or whatever they don't do for Jesus because they had a bad experience. And he asked the question, have any of you ever had a bad experience at Walmart? Could I just see your hands? Anybody ever had a bad experience at Walmart? I can't get in the parking lot without having a bad experience. I can't find a place to park without a bad experience. But how many of you who have had a bad experience have gone back to Walmart? Can I see your hands? Yeah. Listen, a bad experience doesn't keep us from going back to Walmart. Why would it keep us from doing what Jesus said to do? We need to be busy about the work that He called us to do. I want you to see how this pattern continues. In John 1, verse 43, very quickly, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Jesus goes from where he is and he goes out of his way to find one man named Philip and calls him to follow him. Jesus invited Andrew and John to come and see, and he went and found Philip and commanded him to follow me. Verse 44 says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So Jesus goes to find Philip, and now Philip is the one seeking out others and inviting them to come and see. Listen, this process of evangelism, this process of making disciples, it's a process. It takes investing in people. It takes going to people. It takes talking to people and persuading people and reasoning with people out of the scriptures that Jesus is indeed the Christ. It's a process. And not everybody that you go to initially is going to just come and run and fall at the feet of Jesus. But we've got to be faithful to go. And to be faithful to go. There's obstacles. There's prejudices. Nathanael was one who looked down on people from Nazareth. It's my understanding that Nathanael was from Cana. Cana was a dinky little village, and Nazareth was a dinky little village, and they weren't really very far apart, and they apparently didn't think much of each other. Can you think of any places like that today, where you have small communities that are close together and they don't think much of each other? Baldrow and Roland comes to mind. Gans and Central comes to mind. Back in my neck of the woods, you had Bragg's and Gore, or Vianne and Gore, or Weber's Falls and Gore. Just to be clear, I got in trouble for saying that last time. Just to be clear, I have people that I love from Gore. I don't hate people from Gore. Just make that clear. No, it hasn't changed. And Nathaniel said, can anything good? And I'm going to read this very quickly, and then we're going to break into our groups. You can discuss it more there. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And there's a ton there to unpack, but just staying with the basics real quick. Philip went and found Nathanael, obviously somebody he knew. Even though they were friends, Nathanael was skeptical. But Philip was able to convince him to come and see. Just come and see. He was close enough to him, had a good enough relationship that he trusted him enough to come and see. And we've got to take full advantage of every relationship we have, and we have to be busy making relationships, creating relationships with others so that we can invite them to come and see Jesus in his word. Let's stand together.